So tonight, special guest speaker tonight is our pastor, our senior pastor from Rolling Hills, Bill Towne.
Thanks. It's really great to be here. As Paul said, I'm Bill, and I'm a grateful follower of Jesus Christ, and I struggle with shame and self-righteousness. Thanks. It is really a pleasure to be here with you, and it's just an honor. Tonight we're going to talk about Principle 3, as we've already stated, so we're going to show it back up on the screens, and then let's read it together, all right? Consciously choose to commit all my life and will to Christ's care and control. Happy are the meek, Matthew 5:5. We made a decision to turn our lives and our wills over to the care of God, step 3. All right, and so, in fact, we have Romans 12:1 up there as well? All right, good. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Romans 12:1. All right, now wouldn't it be nice if we just read those and they actually just happened in our lives? I mean, I would like that plan. But it's not quite, in some ways it is that simple, in other ways it's really not. And so we're going to talk about how do we commit our lives to Christ's care and control. And so we're going to look in your notes. There is the acrostic TURN, and so we're going to try to answer that question by using that acrostic. And in committing your life to Christ's care and control involves trust, and so that's the T in TURN is trust. And our lives, really, every day we intuitively trust. And when it comes to ultimately trusting in God, We really struggle with that, and we think, gosh, it's so hard to do, and yet we trust so many other things all the time. You know, you drove here probably or were driven here today, and you were intuitively trusting other drivers. You know, and you're entrusting that they're going to stay in their lane. They were going to, signal before they turned. They were going to, accelerate when the light turned green. You're trusting them. You ate dinner. You trusted the cook. You probably didn't think about it much, but you just dove in and trusted them. We trust a lot of things. We set our alarm at night, and we trust that the person who put that together, put it together in a way that it's going to wake us up in the morning. I mean, we just trust things, a lot of things in our life, naturally. But we struggle in trusting God. And God says, our lack of trust in Him is what messes up our relationship with Him. And when Jesus taught His followers how to pray, He said that lack of trust, is sin. And He called, one of the ways He referred to sin is to forgive us our debt. So He was teaching His followers that we need to trust God to forgive us of our debt. And we kind of intuitively know that because we kind of, know that we're broken. And so believing that there's a God, I know that I must fall short of Him because, if I'm honest with myself, I fall short of my own expectations. And so I kind of get, intuitively that there's a God out there that I'm by not trusting in Him, I'm falling short. And yet I'm not really dealing with that all the time in my life because in spite of the fact that debt is more important than any other debt I could have, credit card debt, any other debt I could have, I mean, God's not sending me a bill every month, I'm not getting this bill in the mail saying, hey, you just added 673, sins to your debt this year or this month. And so now, Bill, you're pushing over a million, I'm not getting that bill, and yet intuitively I know that there's something there between me and God that I have to deal with. And it's kind of like having a perfectly good washing machine, but it's just not working. and you're going, what is wrong with this? And you realize, well, it's just not plugged into the outlet. And so that washing machine's good washing machine, and it could function the way it's supposed to function, but it's not connected to the power source. And God says that's what our debt does. Our debt separates us from Him, so we're not connected to Him like we should be, and we were built to connect with God so that we can be and live a life that's honoring to Him and be everything that He wants us to be because of who He is and who He created us to be. And so our sin separates us. You know, it's a debt that separates us, disconnects us from God. Now, so then the question is, how do we get rid of it? How do we get rid of that debt? How do we get reconnected to God? And so I just want to give you an illustration of how this works. Okay, this is a Bible, but let's say this wasn't a Bible. This was the book of Bill Towne's life, all right? And it would be like in 0.5 font in order to get everything in there. But you know, it's everything in my life that I've done in public, everything I've done in private, things that everybody knows, things that only I know, even things that I've forgotten, all in there. The Bible says that one day, the things that were done in darkness will be brought to light, and the things that were whispered in the ear will be shouted from the rooftop. Now, I'm going to stand before God, and I'm going to be accountable for the things in this book. That does not give me a good feeling. Because I know in my life, the things in this book, there's just a lot of things I'm really ashamed of. You know, things that at night, you know, and you're in bed and you're thinking, and I just think back to things and just, you know, I can just beat myself up all over again. And to think that they're exposed to God is reality that I know that I stand guilty before Him. So here is the incredible news of hope that God says, I want you to trust me. He says, you know what? I love you with an everlasting love, Bill, but your lack of trust in me, your debt separates you from me. And I'm a just God. I'm a loving God, but I'm a just God. And so justice means there needs to be a penalty paid for what's done against me. And so He loves me, but He must punish my sin. And so the Bible says, all of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But then God has brought his Son so that all of our sin could be laid upon him. And he could pay and take the price of my sin. So he can look at me as sinless because his Son took my debt on him. And ultimately, Jesus says, you know what? You need to trust me. And trust is saying, I believe in what you say is right, God, and I believe in who you are and what you've done. And I'm trusting in you alone for my forgiveness and my salvation. And I'm not trusting in myself, but I'm trusting in you. So that's the first thing. It says, if we confess with our mouth, this is Romans 10:9, Jesus is Lord, and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So get this, on the cross, you know, I struggle with shame, I struggle with self-righteousness, I struggle with a lot of things. On the cross, Jesus became shame for me. On the cross, he became self-righteousness for me. If you're an alcoholic, on the cross, Jesus became an alcoholic for you. If you're a gossip, you're a liar, Jesus became a gossip and a liar for you. If you're unthankful, if you're addicted to porn, if you're self-righteous, if you're an abuser, if you're greedy, if you're a cheater, if you're proud, if you're selfish. That's what Jesus became on the cross. because he took the price of that off of you and he took it on himself. That's what he wants us to trust in. Trust in him. Will you trust in me? That's what he's saying. Will you trust in me in what I have done for you? The second thing is committing your life to Christ's care and control involves understanding. It involves understanding. And here's what you need to understand: your own limitations and understand God is limitless. And so here's another struggle. I know that intellectually, and I know I'm broken and limited, but when somebody confronts me on something, I get defensive. When somebody, you know, I say something to somebody and they correct me and say, no, actually, that's not right. It's this. And I want to say, oh, yeah, I knew that. It's like even though I know inside that I'm broken and I know everybody knows I'm broken, I'm constantly fighting the need to make them think that I'm not. You know, and it's just happening all the time. And so I need to come back, keep coming back to the truth that, you know, I'm broken and that's okay. And that's actually why Jesus came, because he knows I'm broken. And if that wasn't the case, he never would have had to come, and he did. And so he's limitless, I'm limited. And that shows up in a lot of different ways. Now, one of the ways that we like to think, we are a can-do people. We live in a country that says, you know, you can be whatever you want to be. And that's just not true. We say, you know, what's the right thing to do? How should I live? Well, just follow your heart. Here's what the Bible says about that. Proverbs 14:12. There's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. So, actually, if we're just going after and following our heart and what we think we can do and what we think our intellect and our will can overcome, ultimately, it's going to lead us to death. It's going to lead us to a bad place. And you have seen that. I mean, it's basically saying, you know, we have very limited self-awareness. You know, the ability we have to judge other people, we may be good at that, but whatever ability that is in judging others, we're really bad at judging ourselves. I mean, you know that. You can know people who are really wise. It's like, man, this person's so wise. I go to them and I get some wise counsel. And yet in their own life, they do some really dumb things. And you're going, how does this make sense? And one of the reasons is because we judge other people based on their actions, but then we judge ourselves based on our good intentions. And so we keep thinking, well, I can deal with this. I can get out of this mess. I can fix this. And we're just deluding ourselves. We're just kidding ourselves. And so we need to understand that God is limitless. We are limited. So compare that last proverb, Proverbs 14:12, with Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll make your path straight. You know, he's trustworthy. He is not limited. He knows your tomorrow. He knows what the future holds. He knows what the future holds that's going to be actual, and he knows what's possible. He knows it all. I mean, what a relief to know that we can trust in a God that's not limited, that knows it all, and that even though we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, he does, and we know he's going to be with us. I mean, there's a God worth trusting. Understand, we're limited. God is not limited. All right, committing our life to Christ's care and control involves repentance. Kind of a word that's even hard to say. Hey, repent, you know. But that's actually a beautiful word. And we're going to talk about why that is actually beautiful and not fearful. Repentance, first of all, is basically saying, I agree with you, God. Okay, I mean, in a nutshell, that's what repentance is. It's saying, I've been doing my own thing, and I've been doing this. I recognize now it's wrong. I agree with you, God, And I'm turning away from that, but I'm not just turning from that, I'm turning to you. And I'm turning to what your desire is and what you know you built me to be and how you want me to live. And I'm going to trust in you. So I'm turning from my way, and I'm agreeing with you that's the wrong way, and your way is the right way, and I'm going to follow you. So that's repentance. Now, here's where this kind of gets messed up in our mind is I think repentance means I'm going to turn to God and he's going to smack me down. That he's mad at me. That he's going to punish me. And the reality is that is a lie. I'm believing a lie about myself and I'm believing a lie about God. And God actually stands ready to accept me and love me. And he's not standing there with a stick to smack me. He's standing there with his arm open to hug me and hold me and to say, you're my child. Here's why I get that messed up, I think. I think I get that messed up because I think I project on God the kind of love I have for things. You know, why do I love things? I like a good book when it's well written, there's a great plot. And so I like that book because of the value and the pleasure I find in that book. Okay? You have a good meal. Why do you like that meal? Because it smelled great. I mean, the flavors were wonderful. It was satisfying. And so how was your dinner last night? I loved it. Why? Because of the pleasure and the value that was in that dish. That's not how God sees it. When I go to God, I think, you know, are you going to find something pleasurable and valuable in me that will make you love me? Are you going to find just my brokenness? And then therefore, there's no way you're going to love me. But God says, you know, I'm not loving you because of the value in you. I'm loving you because I'm unbelievably loving. I'm not loving you because of what's in you. I'm loving you because of what's in me. And God's a loving God who loves us and accepts us because he's a loving God and he created us with value and worth and he knows he doesn't create junk. And he says, I love you not because you deserve to be loved, but I loved you because I am love and I want to accept you. And so this is the good news. God doesn't love you based on the person you should be because none of us are the person we should be. God loves you because he's love. So he knows you completely. I mean, everything in your book, not hidden to God, knows all of it, knows you completely, nothing hidden. And he loves you perfectly. He fully accepts you. He wants you as his child. There's nothing you can do to stop him from loving you perfectly. There's nothing you can do to help him love you more because he loves you perfectly. He knows you completely and loves you perfectly. Now, when I think of repentance, that's a beautiful thing because I get to walk away from going away from him and I get to walk into his arms of a God who loves me like that, a God that I'm not shocking with my life. He knows me, and yet he says, I love you completely, and you can find rest for your soul in my arms. Amen. That leads to our last point, and committing your life to Christ's care and control involves new life. It involves new life. We make a decision to place our salvation into his hands. Our hope is in his hands. We say, you know, God, I trust in what you have done in order to forgive me, in order to reconnect me to God. But then every day we trust him. Every day we trust him. And we say, you know, I trust you for my life today. There's decisions to be made. There's relationships I'm going to have, conversations I'm going to have. God, I want to follow you in those. I want to trust you in those. And he says he gives us this new life. There's a new life. It's not just, hey, you know, now you're forgiven, and one day you're promised heaven. You know, so in the meantime, good luck. No, he says, you know what, there's a new life. I want to walk with you every day. And so this is, you know, there's some bad news in that sometimes when we think, you know what, when I come to Jesus and he forgives me, I would like him to wash out all my past. And he says, you know, I'm not going to go back and I'm not going to give you a chance for a do-over. But he says, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to walk with you now and I'm going to redeem all those things. You know, I'm going to take the hurt and the pain and the brokenness that you've experienced, and I'm going to make it into something, make you into something beautiful because of it. Yeah, I'm going to take that pain, I'm going to take the heartache, I'm going to take the abuse that you've experienced, I'm going to turn it into things like wisdom, like patience, like grace, like forgiveness. I'm going to do something in you really, really special. Not in spite of, but I'm going to use the pain of the past to make you into something special. Give you a new life as you follow me. So God doesn't waste the hurts, as we know, but God uses them. And he takes the guilt and shame of the past, and he says, I forgive it, and I'm going to redeem it. And he doesn't say, you know what, I'm going to take the guilt of your past, and I'm going to take halfsies. You know, but he says, I'm taking all of it. I'm taking all of it. I'm not taking some of it from you, making you a little better. I'm taking all that guilt. All off you, all on me. And now I'm going to start transforming your life today as I walk with you, empower you, and guide you as you learn to trust me. Maybe today, for somebody in here, it's a day to say, you know what, I have been trusting myself, I've been fighting, trusting God, and I need to surrender. And so I just want to give you a chance to do that. And so we can just bow our heads in the quietness of your own heart. If that is where you are at, then in fact, I'll just pray a prayer that's along those lines. And if that's where you're at, in the quietness of your whole own heart, you can just talk to God. You know, talking to God is prayer. That's what prayer is. You talk and you listen. And so just in your heart with God, you might just talk to him now and say something like this. Dear God, I choose to follow Jesus. And I acknowledge that I live in a broken world and I'm broken. And I recognize my need for Jesus. I've tried to do it by myself. And I failed. And today I want to turn my life over to you. You are the one and only higher power. And I place my trust in you. And please to continue to help me to overcome my hurts and hang-ups and habits. And I pray that the victory you give me will help others see your power at work. Thank you for your story of love that pursues people like me and gives me hope and a new life. And it's in the power and the name of Jesus I pray. Amen. Amen. Thanks.